So I do have a bit of a confession for you this morning. Our title, How to Pray. If you've been with us, you'll know that we have been working through some discipleship material, and we were going to talk this morning about the Lord's Prayer and just how Jesus uses that to teach us how to pray. And all week, I've had on my computer as I'm preparing the Lord's Prayer and a whole bunch of blank space underneath it, just going, God, what do you want me to say about this? How do you want us to process this today? And it wasn't until last night that I finally kind of surrendered in some way and said, okay, I guess we're not talking about that this morning, and felt like there was something else that we should talk about, which is kind of the big picture of what's going on. Had a our leadership teams had some meetings this week, and I was encouraged to just remind the church, maybe a little more often than I do, about where are we going? Like, where is this taking us? What's our vision? How does this all fit together? And so I thought, I just really sense from the Lord that that's what we should talk about today. And so I want to talk about that and then have some time for us actually to discuss that this morning. And I want to take you back a few years. I want to take you back 4 years, actually, and just remind you that 4 years ago, we as a church were in a bit of a transition. We were kind of rediscovering who we are and who we're going to be. That often happens in the time of pastoral transition, and during that time, I came to be a part of the family here. And that first fall together, I remember meeting together with our elders in our boardroom, and we were just looking at the vision statement that we have for our church, like, where are we going, and what do we need to talk about here? What are we all about? And so we captured these words 4 years ago about our vision, that we are to make wholehearted followers of Jesus from the people in our everyday lives. That's what we felt like we were about. Now, a couple of things about this. Everyday lives means that we're doing this in the places that we live, learn, work, and play. This is something that happens where you work. It's something that happens with the people that we're around all day, every day during the week. Wholehearted means that we love God with all our heart. And the scripture says that one of the expressions of love, one of the ways we will know that we love God, is by our obedience. So obedience is not, it's not strict, it's not legalism, it's actually an expression of love, the scripture says. So we have a wholehearted love and a wholehearted obedience. And one of the subtle things that comes out of this statement that the elders talked about 4 years ago was that we're making disciples every day. Making disciples happens out there, not just in here on a Sunday morning. And that was a significant shift that we spent some time talking about. Then we said, okay, if we adopted this as our vision statement, and if we projected 10 years into the future, what would Mountain Park Community Church look like? We came up with this statement: an increasing number of kingdom communities saturating the Fraser Valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, a kingdom community, just so we're clear, is any place that people are meeting with the expressed purpose of making disciples from the people in their lives. So it could be a lunchroom at work. That could be a kingdom community. It could be at Starbucks or at the gym. It could certainly be at school. It could be at work. It could be in your backyard over a barbecue. It could be in your living room. And if we could equip our people, our elders said, we could actually see a growing number of kingdom communities making disciples all over the Fraser Valley. That's the picture that we had in our minds. And so for the past 4 years, we have been setting the stage for exactly that future, that vision. We've been talking about things like decentralizing the church and you may recognize this language, where the primary expression of the church is the church in the places that we live, learn, work, and play. That's the primary expression of the church, and that Sunday exists to serve and equip the ministry that happens out there. Sunday exists to celebrate the baptisms that happen out there, to remind ourselves of God's commission to us in the Lord's table to come together under Christ for forgiveness. We also talked about mobilizing the church, and we have slowly been shifting from a church program focus, where everything happens in the church and we're always inviting people to the church, to a discipleship-centered focus, where what's happening is actually happening out there. The disciple-making is out there. Our staff job descriptions in the past 4 years have changed from running programs to equipping disciples. Janelle's job description does not say run Sunday school. What it says is equip parents to make disciples of their children. It's a much more holistic approach. And so Janelle this morning is leading our children's ministry. She's equipping parents to make disciples, which is what we are called to. And that brings us to our youth ministry and the candidate that we're going to meet next week. Does he fit into that vision? That's a really important question of discernment. So our foundational understanding of the church has slowly been shifting from a come mentality, where we evaluate our success by the number of people that are coming, to a go mentality, where we evaluate success by the number of people who are going and making disciples and connecting with the people in their everyday lives. And friends, that comes straight out of the Great Commission. As you go, make disciples. So for the past 4 years, we've been pursuing values that would support a mobilized church. A mobilized church has to obey Jesus. We actually have to follow Jesus. Learning about Jesus isn't enough. And so we've made that shift, and we've said that we would be people that are obedient to Jesus, not just learning about him. A mobilized church is a church that's not made up of people who attend church. It's made up of missionaries who identify themselves as followers of Jesus who are sent into their communities. A mobilized church will require the empowering of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. And so we spent time this spring fasting and praying, God, would you equip us? Would you empower us to be effective in sharing Christ in these places? And all of these things have been weaving together to prepare us to be disciple makers in the places we live, learn, work, and play. And we are now 4 years into this 10-year vision. And I feel like the tide is shifting for us, which is a great thing. I feel like our heart as a church is for this, and that our desire is there. And so now it's time to actually move into practices, to the equipping of the skills and behaviors that will move us forward. Now, in our culture, I think you'll recognize that we can structure learning in one of three different ways. If you're familiar with the language of colleges and universities, you can audit a course. In other words, there's no accountability to demonstrate that you've learned anything. You can just sit, take in as much information as you want, and don't worry about the details. Second, you could take a course for credit, which means there will be a test. That question that students always ask, are we going to get tested on this? Yes, there will be a test. That's taking a course for credit. And that means you have to listen differently, isn't it? You have to actually take notes and try to think, how can I remember this? Can I spit this back out in some form that will get me to pass the course? That's the second way. But a third way of learning is this, so that you're actually able to teach what you're learning. And in order to do that, you actually have to grapple with the big picture, the big concepts, You actually have to engage with the material in a dynamic way, and you have to engage with other people in that material. You have to learn to ask questions and field questions. You have to learn to be adaptable if you're going to be able to teach others. Now, in churches, we typically audit. In other words, we come Sunday morning, we politely pay attention. Some keeners may take notes, but there is no test. There's no accountability. No one's going to ask you at the end of the year if you've learned anything. Bible schools typically work for credit. Yes, there will be a test. Yes, you do have to repeat this information in some way. But discipleship is so different from both of those. It actually requires you to engage in such a way that you could teach someone else. And what we're trying to do right now is to shift your learning expectations, that you would come expecting to learn in such a way that you could engage with others, that you could teach others, and that every Sunday, for the rest of your lives, you would listen to teaching, and in the back of your mind, you would be saying, how could I teach this to others? How could I pass this on to someone that I'm discipling? You'll remember we started in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, that Paul says to Timothy, the things that you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men and women in such a way that they are able to teach others. That's what we're after, teaching in such a way that we're able to teach others, which means you have to listen and learn in such a way that you're able to teach others. And so that's what we're doing right now. That's why we're doing what we're doing right now. That these conversations that we're having each week are specifically designed to engage you in a culture of learning disciple-making. A culture of learning disciple-making. Disciple-makers lead people to the Bible. So where will you lead them? Well, that's the first question we ask. Where would we start with a new believer? Disciple makers will ask questions that draw truths out of the Scripture. What are the truths we want to draw out of Scripture? Well, we've been practicing that skill, specifically in Joshua 1:8. We want to teach them to meditate, to do it day and night, to obey everything that's in there, and to see that prosperity and blessing of life comes from this. People who are disciple makers talk about obedience to Scripture, that knowledge is not enough, that we actually have to obey what we're talking about. And so this is something that we're talking, we have to mentor these Scriptures. And so we keep asking each week, how are you practicing these things in your life? So that when you're sitting with someone, you can actually talk about your experience in these things. So discipleship is not a series of lessons on a piece of paper. We talked about that last week. And as we talked about last week at the end, it's pretty messy. We ended last week with a really good discussion about the kind of flexibility that will be required of us as we pursue a disciple-making culture in our church. And we wrapped up last week with a couple of different observations. The first one was that the lessons are not linear. They don't just always start at number one and go through to number five. That's not really what we're after. These lessons would simply be five tools that you have in your toolbox. And as a disciple maker, you may decide, hey, I need to use this tool today. I need to start over here. And the point right now is not to dictate five lessons in any particular order. It's to make us aware of some of the themes and tools that will be important for us that we can draw on at any time. And so the real lesson is that we begin to think like a disciple maker. Think like a disciple maker, learning in such a way that we could teach these things to others. Second observation that you made last week in our discussion is that discipleship is highly relational. It can't be dictated by a piece of paper. That as you get to know an individual, you'll discover just by talking to them what's important, what's their growth edge at that moment, and that you may need to divert from even these five lessons and start somewhere else. That's great. That's fantastic. But what we're simply suggesting is don't ignore these foundational elements that we have been talking about. I think of it a little bit like parenting. It's not linear at all. You know that. You simply draw on what you need when you need it. And you have to learn to be adaptable to do that. There is no right way of doing that. But there is a right end result. The right end result is self-feeding children who grow to be mature adults who love Jesus. The end result is clear. Teaching children to self-feed. Watching my children teach my grandchildren how to eat. Boy, I gotta tell you, that's messy. They put the food on there, and it's all over the floor, and it's all over their hair. I was taught that you take your nice soft spoon and put it into your child's mouth. It was neat. I like neat. I tell you, the mess that my grandchildren make learning to self-feed is incredible. And I'm amazed at the patience of my children in allowing them to grow and learn. And I thought, that's actually so important. And what surprises me is how quickly they are learning to self-feed if we would just let them. And I think new disciples are the same way. I think we would be surprised how quickly a new believer who's empowered by the Holy Spirit can self-feed if we would let them make some mess along the way. And that leads us to the third thing, the observation that came from last week. And that is that the Holy Spirit is the primary teacher. Not you, not the pastor, not me, the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Scripture is our guide. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, it's inspired by God. This is God's Word. It's profitable. It does a good job in teaching, rebuking, correcting. You don't have to do that work. The Scripture will do that work. And then out of Hebrews, that it's like the sword, this double-edged sword that it's able to penetrate to the joint and the marrows. Man, the Scripture together with the Holy Spirit is able to get to places in your disciple's life that you could never anticipate. You can't see those deep things, but the Spirit can, and the Scriptures can go there. And so we want to teach our new disciples to be self-feeders in the Word. As messy as it is, we want to teach them to read and obey, to read and obey, and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Friends, I want to take some time this morning, rather than going into how to pray, I want to talk about just where we are in this process. And I want you to think this morning about the process, but think of it now from the perspective of learning to disciple other people. Not learning information, not learning so that you can repeat it, but learning because you are a disciple maker. And I want you to think about one thing that we have been doing that you feel is really helpful in that process. Does that make sense? What's one thing that we've been doing differently over the last 6 weeks that you think has been helpful in the process of helping us learn to be disciple makers, learning in a different way? So think about that one thing. And what I'd love for you to do is to turn and get into discussion groups and just talk about those things. And simply all I'm trying to do right now is to have you affirm what's working, okay? In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you another question. What is something else that we could do that would really be helpful so that we design these experiences together? We're learning as we go. We said that we would do that. And so let's take some time this morning to talk about the process that we're in, starting with what's one thing that you have found helpful that's been good in this new learning environment? And then after a few minutes, I'll switch the question. So if you would, get into groups of six, eight, four, whatever works for you. Just turn your tables where you are. That would be a wonderful thing. And start with that first question. What's something that's working for you? So let me ask you to move on to that second question. And this one's going to be a little tougher because you actually have to conceptualize some things. But are there any things that we could do that would further enable a disciple-making, learning environment? It's a hard question, so I don't have anything in my mind. All I can think of is we're learning to do this together, and input really helps. And so the things that I think, there may be some obvious things out there that I'm not even seeing, so maybe there's something. So take a couple of minutes on that one. Is there anything that we could do that would actually increase our disciple-making learning environment, if I could put it that way? So take a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll kind of do some feedback.
Maybe more evangelism teaching.
Yep.
On how to be more practical.
Yeah.
To reach out.
Yeah, and I've had this conversation more than once about, okay, so we're talking about discipling new believers that are really eager. It's a little bit different when you're actually taking evangelism to that, or sorry, you're taking discipleship to that evangelism step. So discipleship is the whole thing from talking about Christ to accepting Christ to growing in Christ. It's a continuum. And we haven't talked at all about evangelism yet. Let me tell you why. And it's because the skills that we're talking about, looking at Scripture, drawing the truth out, talking about how to apply in your lives, those same skills apply in evangelism. But my thinking was, let's practice it in the least stressful setting. Let's practice the skills in a setting that's the least scary. So if we can develop the skills and say, oh, I can do that, now we're taking that and putting it into another setting that goes, oh, it's a little riskier there, but I know how to do it. So we are absolutely going to be going there. That's part of what disciple making out there is about, is sharing the gospel in all of this. Yeah, we actually spent a staff meeting once talking about learning styles and just how important that is, and that we have different learning styles and we need to be adaptable. And this is the messiness of it all. There is no one way of doing this. And so we want to engage. I would love for you to just, again, in your groups, would you just pray? Would you just pray and ask God to lead us through this process? Pray for Janelle with the parents and just, boy, how do you think through discipling parents to, or equipping parents to disciple children? How do we reshape youth ministry so that our youth all see themselves as missionaries in their schools?